This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is a Throwback Thursday today. Glad you can be with us here on Sports Map Radio. It is Wake Up Call. If you want to hit the show, it is at Tony D Radio on Twitter, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Yes, a troubling day yesterday in the nation's capital. The sports world reacts. We'll get to that in the show today. But also, yesterday was a piece of news, probably the biggest piece of news in the sports world yesterday. Certainly not in the regular world, but in the sports world, was the least surprising of any news that you would have, and that is Trevor Lawrence is going pro. No one thought Trevor Lawrence was staying for his senior year. We've had a few surprises in the history of those kind of announcements, like Peyton Manning saying he wanted to stay. I think Matt Leinart decided to stay. You know, you get occasionally a guy saying, you know what, I'm never going to get this again. It's going to be all over, and the business of my life will start. I don't want it to start right now. I will be willing to play for another year of free football at this great institution. But Lawrence made the decision we all knew he was going to make, which is he was going to go pro, and he is, and he'll be the number one pick in Jacksonville. And don't fall for the narrative that happens every single time when we see a clear-cut number one where people will go, well, you know, Jacksonville will have to do its research. No, they're taking Trevor Lawrence. What research are they going to do? Because Trevor Lawrence is the kind of player that you take, and then if it doesn't work out, every team in the league and every fan base in the league goes, yeah, but I would have done the same exact thing. There's no question he's the top guy. There's no question he could be an NFL star. He's got all the tools. Now, whether he becomes a star or not is left, you know, we'll see. But he's one of the more sure-fired picks that we've had in this draft, where you take him number one, and now you have a franchise quarterback that has all the ingredients to be a successful NFL quarterback. Now, in that being said, you're going to start hearing about, hey, should Jacksonville trade the number one pick, or should Jacksonville take this guy instead? We do that all the time in the drafts because we want talking points and we want conversations. Don't buy it. Don't fall for it. Trevor Lawrence is going number one to Jacksonville. He should go number one, whoever had the number one pick, even if that person had a Hall of Fame quarterback under center. That's the kind of player he is. He's the Andrew Luck. He's that kind of level player. We'll get to that. We'll also talk about Tom Brady's pressure. Is he under any in that game against Washington? All continuing on Sports Map Radio.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me.
The Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. We'll continue with Wake Up Call. So yesterday's issues at the Capitol, that was unbelievable scenes that were coming from D.C. yesterday, and the sports world sort of reacted to it because the sports world reacts to everything now. And you saw players sort of kneel in protest to the flag and gather, make public statements. It's kind of an interesting world we live in. If you are younger than, let's say, 25, I kind of just want to peg that time. You've sort of grew up in a time where sports and politics kind of blended together. We've seen it since kind of the Kaepernick kneeling. And, you know, you've been seeing it over the last few years as more and more athletes and sports teams and, you know, former athletes have now been more vocal about where they stand politically and coming out and getting themselves into the political world. I'm a little older than that, and I come from a time where that didn't exist. It didn't really happen. I mean, you'd have athletes speaking out on social issues. That's not what I'm saying. But you had this sort of separation of the sports world and the political world because that's where kind of people wanted. They wanted that separation. They were dealing with, let's say, the Cold War of the 80s and some issues with all of the things that would go on under Reagan and Clinton and whatnot. And then there was the sports world that sort of distracted us. And then those two worlds kind of came together. And now anything that has gone on, you sort of turn to the sports world to say, well, how are those people going to react? How are athletes going to react? How are owners going to react? How are executives going to react? And it's such a different place because, you know, when I got into this business, there was a newsroom and there was a sports room and the two rarely came together. And sometimes they would. And you'd go, all right, like I was on various news shows and various news talk shows throughout my career for issues that were related to sports. You know, if a news talk guy wanted to talk steroids and its influence in the culture, he would, you know, say, hey, you want to come on for 10 minutes to talk about steroids because we got this baseball thing going on and you want to chime in on that. And that's, you know, I would go in, do the baseball sports spiel, and then that would be it. OJ Simpson's trials, that sort of kind of blended, and then it became just a news story on its own. But today, anytime you get sort of anything, whether it's the election, whether you have the riots over the summer, whether you have the riot that was happening yesterday and the assault on the Capitol, what have we done in sports as we go, well, how does this team feel about it? How does this team in DC feel about it? How does LeBron feel about it? How do the football players feel about it? And that's when you're sort of seeing that come to fruition over the last, you know, 10 hours or so as the sports world has reacted to the protests in DC yesterday. I saw one article today where they, you know, somebody wanted football owners, for example, or NBA owners to speak out because they're rich and they make a lot of money and some of them supported Trump. I don't know why that's necessary. I mean, am I missing something? I mean, I don't know why we need Mark Cuban's thoughts on this. Why do we need Robert Kraft's thoughts on this? Does that influence anybody? Does that change the dynamic of what we're seeing in the country, the sort of division that we're seeing in the country? Like if we start going to, and look, Kraft is a more, you know, more public figure. Mark Cuban is absolutely a public owner, but there are a lot of owners who are quiet owners who never get in the media, who don't want to be in the media, who just own the team and that's all. And somehow we're demanding that they speak out. Why are we asking this?
Because we need a soundbite.
But why do we want that soundbite?
Because that's what drives ratings, right? We want why? A soundbite.
I'm
playing the devil's advocate.
Well, I know, but if I live in a market where my owner doesn't even speak out about the starting quarterback, why do I need him to speak about the riots in D.C.?
You got me, but that's what we look for. We look for a soundbite. We're just looking for a series of soundbites to put together. And say, okay, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so said that. Next, at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, but the article wasn't, and I think it was Mike Florio. He wasn't saying that as like, let's just hear what they have to say because we're interested. He was saying they need to say something against Trump. They need to speak out against this. We don't need owners to do anything but own the teams we like. Yeah. We don't need them to, you know, opine about what's going on in the sports world. I couldn't care less what Mark Cuban feels about this. Like, I couldn't care less what Robert Kraft feels about this or anybody that owns any franchise. I don't need to know who the Memphis Grizzlies owner, and I think he's a young guy. I don't care what he thinks about this. But there seems to be this direction where it's like, well, if you're rich or you or have this public entity that people enjoy, somehow you must speak out. If we're going to say the same thing about actors getting involved in politics, why wouldn't we say that about people who own teams? Why would we want sports owners to say something if we're not asking CEOs to say something or owners of businesses to say something? Right? Like, why aren't we doing that? Like, why aren't we saying, well, the CEO of Ford or the CEO of Goodyear, or the CEO of McDonald's or the CEO of Sears, they should speak out too. Like, why does it fall on the local NHL owner to speak out on these riots? Like, what does he have to do with it? Or she have to do with it? So I think sometimes we say, look, how does LeBron feel about this? Okay, fine. Let's get LeBron's thoughts on this. Let's get some other athletes, you know, thoughts on this. But then we have to go to some anonymous owner too. Like, why don't we just get everybody involved? The general manager, the director of player personnel, the VP of scouting. Why don't we just find out what everybody thinks? Why are we forcing that opinion to that public opinion on them? Again, if your local owner doesn't talk about the head coach, why should he talk about this? I mean, or she to talk about this? So you're seeing the sports world sort of react to the protests in D.C. As I said at the top of the hour, we have got Trevor Lawrence going pro. This is the least surprising news that came out of the sports world Wednesday. Everyone was just waiting for the day that he would say, I'm turning pro. You know what it was surprising? It came a little earlier than people probably thought it was going to come. He would not have made that announcement yesterday if he was getting ready for the national championship, which people thought he probably would be getting ready for the national championship, except Ohio State had a lot to say about this. Again, Jacksonville, number one pick. He's going there. I don't want to hear how they're possibly going to trade it. I don't want to hear how they're possibly going to go with someone else. I don't want to hear. They went 1-15 to get this guy, all right? And he didn't even announce yet, but they knew he was going to be the number one pick in the draft. But, you know, we tend to do this where we go, well, let's pick somebody else. Or maybe we should have another angle to the draft because it's not fun to say this guy's going to go number one with the bullet. Listen, I'm looking forward to seeing what Trevor Lawrence does in the NFL because he's been given to us as a surefire NFL superstar. I mean, Andrew Luck's career ended early, but he was heading to superstardom. I have no doubt Andrew Luck at some point in his career was going to have the Colts in a Super Bowl.
And if not him, his Twitter alter ego definitely was.
His Twitter alter ego is great.
Missed that.
And Trevor Lawrence is on that same sort of path. Now, will he have success? I don't know. This league has spit people out that you thought were going to make it, and it has made superstars of people who thought could never make it. It's just weird that way. But as far as all of the intangibles, of all the check marks,
yeah,
Trevor Lawrence has every single one of them.
The writing's on the wall, right? I mean, he's coming out exactly like how Andrew Luck came out, where we knew Andrew Luck was a pro-ready quarterback. He was ready to take the reins from day one, and he did. He did take the reins from day one, and he was successful.
And
that's how we're looking at Trevor Lawrence right now. It's like, you're going to take the reins from day one. Sure, you know, that first year, there's going to be a couple bumps in the road because you got to get used to the NFL, but overall, you're ready to succeed.
I always loved Christian Laettner's college basketball career, even if I wasn't a big Christian Laettner fan. He was 4 years at Duke. He won two national championships. He played in four Final Fours. He was in the Final Four every single year that he was at Duke. Trevor Lawrence is as close to that in the modern college football playoff era as you will see. A guy that went to three playoffs, two national titles, beating Alabama his freshman year, just ran into the Joe Burrow machine in year two, and then couldn't beat Ohio State in year three. But there's no question if he had been there his senior year, if he had gone next year, Clemson probably be in playoff again. Four straight years leading the Tigers to the college football playoff. He leaves a great legacy at Clemson, right? He delivered a national title, their second in school, their third in school history. Deshaun Watson had won the first one. He's got a fantastic legacy as one of the high school kids that did make it, like the five-star recruit that lived up to every one of the high school billing that he had coming out. And he has everything that you want in an NFL quarterback. Whether those skills translate to superstardom, I have no idea. Jacksonville could put a crappy team behind him, and he never really develops and becomes a star because he never gets weapons, or he gets hit too much, or he gets injured.
He could end up being like Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, he could be, right? He could be like just having years that are just going to go by without any sort of level of production.
Having
you don't know.
Your superstar teammate apologizing to you
because you wasted a year. Yeah, because we wasted a year of your career. I've never heard another athlete say that to another guy.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't mean it hasn't happened, but I'm sure it's like just public, like to catch it on tape where JJ Watt said, sorry, we wasted a year for you.
A year.
That's incredible statement by JJ Watt, and it's absolutely 100% true. By the way, I forgot to mention at the top, it is Throwback Thursday. We're going to 1994. Now, this is a cool one because not for one person, but it's one of my favorite stories in sports because I was a young reporter at the time that this story developed, but it didn't develop on this date. This was like kind of the appetizer, if you will. This is the date that Tanya Harding won the U.S. Figure Skating Championship.
Yes.
And Nancy Kerrigan withdrew from the championship in Detroit because she had a seriously bruised knee following an attack, the day before?
I pulled the audio for it.
All right, let's pull the audio.
Why? some hard, hard black stick. Something really, really hot.
Oh.
Still heartbreaking after all these years.
Still heartbreaking for Nancy Kerrigan.
God.
Because, we'll talk more about this coming up, because I think this became something exponentially large because of where we were in 1994 in terms of television entertainment, in terms of where the culture was heading, in terms of what we liked on TV. It fit everything. I mean, it gave you everything. We'll have that coming up as well. Plus, Ohio State has played 7 games. They looked really fresh against Clemson. If they beat Alabama, will we sort of forget how they got there in the first place? That's coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call at Sports Map Radio.
The Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
All right, a weak battery can leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test that battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people are going to find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It is a Throwback Thursday, 1994. Tonya Harding wins the U.S. Figure Skating Championship after Nancy Kerrigan could not because she got hit with by a pipe in her knee. God. But
it sounds like an episode of or a game of Clue, right?
Here is the great part about that story is that go back to 1994, right? We were as a sort of entertainment culture really starting to get a taste of reality television.
Right.
Right? I mean, you go back to The Real World just like a year or two before that, and you saw sort of this energized talk show circuit, right, with Morton Downey Jr. and Sally Jesse Raphael and Geraldo and people throwing chairs and Jerry Springer and Maury, right? All of these talk shows where sensationalism was the rule of the day. Get people angry, get people riled up, get people buzzing. And then you throw in, so you've got this pot where the entertainment culture is like dying for things that are real, right? They don't want phony, they want real, right? They want something that's got some meat on it. And then the sports world goes, here, have this. You have a bitter rival, a woman that's trying to get on the Olympic team. She, she at the time may or may not have hired a hitman for her biggest figure skating. And all of a sudden, America has eaten this alive. You could not get enough of this story. You could not get enough of the drama that was going on with Sean Galluli, Jeff Galluli, and Sean Eckert. Right, all of the players that were involved in this. I mean, you had America's darling in Nancy Kerrigan, and then this girl who like grew up in a trailer park who had talent galore, and trying to make it.
Because let's be honest, even in '94, do we even pay attention? The figure skating championship.
No, we just want
to know who we're sending.
Yeah, right. Who we're sending? I mean, figure skating was always always a high ratings grab for the Winter Games.
Yeah.
But I think it was only the Winter Games, right? I mean,
it was only the Winter Games. You never paid attention to the
right.
U.S. I couldn't tell you any time whoever's won the U.S. championship.
And so you got these two dynamic personalities. You got these two, this story of just like you never got like you used to kind of thought what would happen if. Like Joe Montana's arm was broken before the NFC Championship game, but you didn't think it would actually take place, right? You didn't think somebody would try to find the 49ers superstar so that the Giants could go to the Super Bowl or the Bears could go to the Super Bowl or whatever. You just went, oh man, I wonder, it'd be too bad if Joe Montana wasn't injured before the game. But in this scenario in figure skating, that's exactly what happened. Someone said, I need to get to the Olympics. The only way I can get to the Olympics is if this person is out. Let's get this person out, and I get to win the U.S. Figure Skating Championship.
I mean, it's even for a Hollywood movie, it's hard to fathom like somebody would write that script.
I know.
And it happened, played out in real life. It was fantastic.
That movie, I, Tonya, was pretty good. Margot Robbie and Allison Janney. So when I was when my son was little, he played hockey when we lived in Colorado Springs. He was in junior hockey, you know, and I used to go to the ice rink with him for practice. And the adjacent ice rink would have figure skating. Colorado Springs is an Olympic city, and you'd have young figure skaters. And I remember I was talking to one guy, and his daughter was in figure skating. I remember he said, "You want to go broke fast? Get your daughter in figure skating," because I had a little girl at the time. And he just told me how much it costs. He says, "This is the most expensive thing. I've got one of my kids plays baseball. One of my kids plays soccer. This is the most expensive thing by 100 miles. Private coaches, all of that." So you can only imagine Tonya Harding growing up poor, her mother scraping every single nickel that she could get to maximize the natural talent that she had. And then it still might not be good enough. It still might not be good enough, and you have to kind of resort to this underhanded way of getting in. So that happened on this date in 1994. All right, so we continue along on Sports Map Radio. So we'll have the hits of that year throughout the day today. So
with Nancy Kerrigan, though, I've always found fascinating too, was the fact that she didn't compete in the finals, but still got to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, that's right. She still got to go to the Olympics, and she won a silver medal.
She won the silver medal. Tonya didn't get anything.
Yeah.
So all through all those efforts, it didn't work out for Tonya at all. And then she ended up getting banned.
Tonya got what was it? She had the laces problem, didn't she?
I think that was what she was coming up with.
Yeah, she was like, "I can't skate, and laces around my, I can't skate." She was crying to the judges.
Yeah, well, because she couldn't bring was Jeff Gulati to was it in France, right? Lillehammer?
Yeah, I think it was in Lillehammer, yeah. I think it was. Or Norway? I can't remember. Yeah, I think it was Albertville.
Albertville?
France. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Or maybe it was Lillehammer or Albertville. I can't remember. I have no idea. So somebody on Twitter, let me know, because my brain is frozen from 94. All right. So I was thinking about this conundrum yesterday about Ohio State. So I'm going to throw it out there. So you know Ohio State came into this playoff with like 6 games under their belt and sort of a convoluted way that the Big Ten went, all the rules out the door, it's okay. And you can play in the Big Ten title game. After all, you're Ohio State, and you're our one big chance to get to the playoff. So when Ohio State got to the playoff on Friday, I thought, man, if Clemson wins this thing and going away, we'll probably look at the Big Ten, and at least for a year or two, and go, yeah, nice try. Well done. Come in late to the party, get your team unbeaten, change the rules on your own people so that they can get to the playoff. Then they got destroyed. But the exact opposite happened. Ohio State killed Clemson and looked very fresh and very, very good. And it made people across the country, at least on Twitter, say, because Dabo did no favors to the anti-Ohio State argument, right? By saying that they were the 11th best team in the country. Because that made Ohio State a little bit more sympathetic. Right. And then when they won the game, everyone was like, well, see, there you go. The 11th best team in college football, Dabo. How do you like that? And now all of a sudden, Ohio State going up against mighty Alabama. If you don't have a dog in this fight, all of a sudden there's this sort of angle to it. Like, yeah, finally, if Ohio State wins this game, do we even remember what the Big Ten did to get them into this process in the first place?
I mean,
do we remember how they screwed over Indiana?
Do we put an asterisk?
Not an asterisk. Know, that's a little strong. But I mean, just in the history of 2020, do we we talked about last week, Indiana deciding not to wear a Big Ten badge.
Yeah.
And we sort of said, yeah, because they're giving the middle finger to the conference that screwed them over. Right. Do we remember what the Big Ten was forced to do? And so the hypocrisy of what they were forced to do if Ohio State is the national champion? Or does the win against Clemson automatically do it anyway? Because they played so well and looked so good and made people go, yeah, they probably are one of the top teams in college football. I don't need 11 games to determine that. 6 is just fine. They looked really, really good. And now they have 7. I wonder where that aspect of the history of the 2020 football season is going to be if Ohio State's the champion. Will it be Ohio State won the national championship beating both Clemson and Alabama, but how they got there is still a source of debate and soreness for those in the Big Ten? Or will it just be Ohio State five games during the regular season plus a Big Ten title matchup, took advantage of that rest, took advantage of that, you know, that lack of wear and tear, and beat both Clemson and Alabama for the title. Because we do have a way of taking our teams and our champions and sort of going, okay, there's a little more to their story, or maybe there's some other aspect that we like to either celebrate or talk about. Does the Big Ten get a pass if Ohio State wins at all? Or are they going to get a pass anyway because Monday night they're in the title game? All right, coming up, we'll talk Tom Brady and the pressure he may or may not be under on Saturday against Washington. Next, Sports Map Radio continues.
Party people!
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Oh, you love this music. 1994 Throwback Thursday. Tonya Harding wins the figure skating championship. Nancy Kerrigan got hit by a lead pipe on the knee. I don't know why I chuckle over that. It's not funny.
Because it's Clue.
But it's, you know,
it was
right.
A lead pipe in the hallway.
Right, in the hallway in Detroit.
Colonel Mustard.
Yeah, that's right. Michael on Twitter, 94 was Lillehammer. Yeah, we looked it up during the break because we really did not know when those Olympic Games were.
All right,
but Michael remembers it because David Letterman sent his mother over there to be a correspondent. That's right.
That's right. All right. You remember this song, right?
Right.
So there's a commercial out right now, and these guys are singing their song. My wife looked at it, she's like, that's not the original guys, are they?
And you said, yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
Because this song is nearly 30 years old.
Yes, they are a little heavier than they once were. They have gray in their beard. They're, you know, they look a lot older than they did when they put out this song. We've aged.
You know what? I'm starting to realize when I see former like celebrities on these like Geico commercials and whatnot that look like they've put on about 30 pounds. I don't feel so bad as I've gotten older.
No,
and I
don't either.
Weight.
I'm kind of happy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they have gray in their beard. I'm like, hey, you know what? Okay.
Yeah.
So do I.
Exactly. I'm like, all right. All right. Yeah, why not? Why not show a little sign of prosperity, I guess, that you're putting on a few extra pounds? Why not?
Just means life is good.
That's right. Life is good. Everyone's temperature varies throughout the day. It's important that you screen for fever in the morning and in the evening. Fever is a sign of COVID-19. Stay safe with the Exergen temporal scanner. All right. So Tom Brady, Saturday night, will be in D.C. to face Washington. And he has made the playoffs once again. Now, people will look at Tom Brady and say, yeah, you know, he's under pressure this postseason, you know. My question is, if there was a point to Tom Brady leaving New England, going to the Buccaneers, that he was trying to make, has he already made it by making the playoffs? Or does he really need to make a legitimate Super Bowl run? Maybe not get to the Super Bowl, but much like Joe Montana when he was with the Chiefs and led them to the AFC title game, does he need to have a run like that? Or has he already made the point? 11-5, 40 touchdowns, got the Buccaneers to the postseason for the first time since 2007, succeeded where others have failed, had a year that got the fan base excited, had a year where he lived up to the expectations, even if there were a few bumps in the road along the way where he sort of questioned his relationship with the head coach or whatnot. It doesn't matter. 11-5 is a great season, and it's an even better season for a 43-year-old quarterback, and it's even better season for a 43-year-old Hall of Fame quarterback who is trying to, even if he won't admit it, prove something by leaving the organization he called home for 20 years. Or do we demand more? Do we say not enough? Do we appreciate what he did and what it is right now? Or do we think he has to do a little more? I remember Joe Montana going to the AFC title game. I remember that. I remember the good run that he had in 91. Beat the Steelers in the first round. But I also felt like, man, I wish he could have gotten to a Super Bowl. Man, I wish he could have just done it with this team. Because remember, he was traded to the Chiefs. They went with Steve Young in San Francisco. And I thought to myself, wow, one swan song. Just get to a Super Bowl. I'll tell you right now, I don't root for players individually to go to Super Bowls. Very rarely do I do it. I think it's more about a team. I as you know, I wanted the Steelers to go to Super Bowl 40. I didn't care that it was Jerome Bettis's hometown. I'm a fan of the team, so I wanted the team to go. Sometimes you get these feel good, like he's never gone to a Super Bowl type of things. And so I'm like, oh, okay, that's a cool thing. But there's been two quarterbacks in my memory that I desperately wanted to go to a Super Bowl just to see what the story would be if they had gotten there. And the one I just told you about was Joe Montana when he played for Kansas City. They lost to Buffalo, and I wanted him to go to the Super Bowl. I thought what a cool angle this would be as a storyline, right? Montana, the king of the 80s of the 49ers, and then going back here in the 90s in the swan song of his career. The second was John Elway, because even though Elway beat the Steelers in the AFC title game, I wasn't that upset from the standpoint of, well, the Broncos, this is still cool. But remember, when Elway went to the Super Bowl, remember he went in Super Bowl 32 against the Packers? They were a double-digit underdog in that game in San Francisco.
And why wouldn't they be?
Right? So it was Elway's going back to the Super Bowl where he had failed three other times, and not only failed, the team failed miserably. Right? Losing to the Giants, losing to the Redskins, losing to the 49ers, and kind of blown out in all three of them.
Yeah, but I think the Redskins one was the worst.
Right. The Redskins one was because he had a 10-0 lead.
Because he had a 10-0 lead, then all of a sudden, in a snap of a finger, it was 28-10.
Blink of an eye.
You know, I mean, the 49ers, they never were in that game. They were blown out from the beginning.
Every time I talk about that Super Bowl, I always have to, it's my penance. I stole $20 from my dad to pay a Super Bowl bet.
Yep. It happens. Man.
I don't remember if I've ever paid that back, but whatever.
You should.
Maybe one day I should put a $20 bill in, or I don't want to calculate interest, Michael, so don't give me how much I would owe at a normal interest rate to my father 32 years later.
Just, you know what you do? I mean, you sit down with your dad, maybe take him to a bar and just slap a $20 on the bar because dad, sorry.
I had no other choice. Derek Collins was demanding payment because he believed in Washington, and I called him dumb.
Was he your Scott Farkle?
Yeah, kind of. He was a good friend of mine, and we made a Super Bowl bet. But, you know, $20 for me back then was a lot of money. I had absolutely no business betting that large amount of money.
I used to steal coins from my mom. My mom kept a little jar of coins, and I used to go in there and grab coins so I could go buy some candy at the corner store.
I think my father's payback could be telling my son to steal $20 from my wallet at some point during the day.
Well, okay, you know
my daughter.
But would 20 hurt you?
Not
is
now.
Is it now?
It would have to be like
100.
Yeah, it would have to be kind of a significant. So.
See, I feel okay about that because I don't carry that kind of cash anymore.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I said I rooted for two quarterbacks to get to the Super Bowl based on just
the
feel-good story. I do have a third. I forgot about this one third. Trent Dilfer. Remember when Trent Dilfer led the Baltimore Ravens to the Super Bowl?
Well, no, I remember the Baltimore Ravens leading Trent Dilfer
to the Super Bowl. I was living in Tampa when Trent Dilfer was the quarterback of the resurgent Buccaneers, the early Tony Dungy-led Buccaneers that finally were getting to the playoffs. They had great defense, and Mike Alstott and Trent Dilfer. And Dilfer was like the Achilles heel to the Buccaneers' success, right? He wasn't a great quarterback. He wasn't terrible, but he wasn't awesome either. And there were some local media guys that would skew Trent Dilfer, make him out to be like, he's awful. He's got to go. We need another quarterback. If we're going to take this to the next level, he's not the guy. And that Super Bowl that year was being played in Tampa. And I just wanted to see what it would be like if he showed up with another team and went to the Super Bowl. But that's minor compared to Montana and Elway, guys I wanted to see LA. Go. And Brady fits more into those two guys.
Yeah.
Then Dilfer's a little story.
But the difference was for Elway, it wasn't just, like I remember with Elway too, it wasn't so much him just getting to the Super Bowl, it was him winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, had to win the Super Bowl.
Montana could get to the Super Bowl and we'd have been like, if you lost it, you lost it. But hey, you made it.
Yeah.
You know, like same with Brady. If Brady makes it to the Super Bowl, great. I don't need him to have a seventh ring to prove anything.
I don't either. I don't even know if I need him to get to the Super Bowl. I think if there's some point that he's trying to prove about his ability outside of the New England bubble, he proves it by getting to, you know, getting a little further in the postseason.
Yeah. But I mean, they're going to.
They are. If he loses, there'll be some shots because he's Tom Brady.
Of course.
But just like John Elway would have taken some shots if he had not won against the Packers, right? Because, again, he would have gone 0-4. in the Super Bowl. We did not want anything to do with Jim Kelly and the Bills after a while, right? We didn't want to see them anymore. We like, you had your shot. Too bad it didn't work out for you, but get out of our AFC championship game.
Four straight times. Come on.
Right? Guys. Four straight times. America's had to put up with your act going to the Super Bowl and losing. After that, there was no sympathy move. There wasn't a, let's get Jim Kelly one more shot because it would be a shame if he never won one.
That's right.
No, we said you had your chance. You blew it. You had an opportunity. You failed. Move on. Done. We're sick of you. Elway and the Broncos, that's exactly what was going on in the 80s. And into 1990 when he went to play San Francisco. Nobody wanted to see that team in the Super Bowl again. Every time they got there, they got blown out.
Yeah.
It was just it was a juggernaut NFC time, but still, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time couldn't do a thing in the biggest game of his career. In three times that he went there. He was practically Jim Kelly and the Bills before Jim Kelly and the Bills. Brady, though. If you were following along and kind of got interested in the Belichick Brady divorce, maybe we're making it up. Maybe there's nothing more than Brady going, I've done it. I appreciate everything. I'm just going to go do something else. Or maybe there's something hidden inside of him that goes, screw it. I'm going to show people I didn't need this organization. I didn't need Josh McDaniels. I didn't need some sort of Patriot no days off way. I will go to a team and lead them to a playoff and a Super Bowl run. And if that's what he's trying to do, if that's what he's trying to gain on, then maybe he's landing something here. Maybe he's either A, already done it, or B, he's close to doing it. I don't know how much pressure people think he's under in this game against Washington.
Yeah, I get the feeling that he set out what he needed to do.
I think he did.
You know, I mean, he
40 touchdowns, 11-5.
Yeah,
it's great.
But I mean, you know, leading his team to the playoffs in the first year. That's why he came to the Buccaneers, and that's why the Buccaneers brought him there, was to make it to the postseason.
Yeah, don't turn the ball over like the other guy, and we should be fine.
Yeah, it was to get past the AFC South. And on top of that, they didn't need the benefit of seven teams being let in.
Right.
Would it be a different narrative if they were team number seven?
Sure, sure. If he had squeezed in with an 8-8 record like the Bears.
You know,
sure.
They needed this team to lose and this team to win just to make it all work out for them in the end. And you know, they made it on their own. They were the fifth seed going away with it.
No, I agree. If you gave him the exact situation the Bears are in with Mitch Trubisky and that team, if you gave him that exact scenario, right? A team that looked good a little bit early, but then fell apart and weren't as good and weren't as fun, and we didn't pay attention to them, and then they won a few games at the end and got in with an 8-8 record. No, people would still go, well, you benefited from this extra game, extra team that's led into the NFC. But that, you're right. He got the fifth seed on his own. 11-5 is a fantastic mark. 40 touchdowns is a great accomplishment for anybody, especially a 43-year-old guy, no matter what the play calling is, right? And no matter if that's a necessity for your offense, it's still good numbers. I just don't think he's under tremendous pressure for some sort of legacy part two by winning this game. I think he's got to win this game because Washington is a weak team that they should be able to beat, even though their defense is really good. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, 1994 Throwback Thursday. Nancy Kerrigan winning the figure skating championship, but you know it helped before all that. Go see the movie I, Tonya. You can also see the 30 for 30 on it. It's good. It's good. I didn't know anything about ice skating. Again, I was a young New Hampshire sports reporter, and my boss went to the Nancy Kerrigan press conference in Massachusetts. He came back, and I had to help him cut up some audio. And I remember sitting there with him, and we were both like, do we even know anything? Like, do we know how this works? Like, this sport? Like, we didn't know anything about this sport. How it worked and what it was like, the rivalry. One thing about Nancy Kerrigan, though, and the movie and kind of the documentary kind of point out, she wasn't really America's darling.
No,
she kind of had some nastiness to her as well. She was a little,
but like all figure skaters, we fall in love with them every 4 years.
That is true.
They are America's darling when they're at the Olympics. You know, same with Michelle Kwan, same with I don't know. That's the only one I got. Sorry.
What would it have been like if that had...
Christy Yamaguchi.
Christy Yamaguchi. That's right. Katarina Witt. Remember her?
Was she from Germany?
Germany, yeah.
No, I'm not saying attractive.
Oh, you just American ones?
I'm just saying American. Like,
oh, Debbie Thomas.
Okay, yeah, they're Americans' darlings during that time because we're like, oh my God, yes, I'm a big fan of hers.
I know, right.
And then as soon as they're done, Debbie who?
You go through the list of the top, the most watched sports, was television shows of all time. And that Lillehammer Olympics is one of the highest rated television shows of all time. It's like, I think it's still in the top 10. Because people were just fascinated by it. People were amazed. Remember the hypothetical I brought up earlier? Like if somebody had done that to Joe Montana in the 80s, like if somebody had broken his arm, like if just some thug came out of nowhere and just grabbed Joe Montana and broke his arm before the NFC championship game or something.
Somebody, Daniel LaRusso'd his leg.
Right. Or somebody did that to his leg.
Shot.
Right. Yeah. Not even a cheap shot, like somebody assaulted him in the hallway or at a restaurant
That's
or something.
What I'm saying.
And then But I mean, like, I thought you meant, like, in a game.
No, well, I mean, like, you can do it in
a game.
Because,
Nancy Kerrigan didn't fall because like, she got, there was a hitman. And, like, if somebody hired a hitman to get, let me finish the thought.
No, I love that you say hitman. It's
like,
so awesome.
Like, a hitman to Joe Montana would, and he somehow was, like, on an injured leg, somehow managed to get back to the Super Bowl. Would we have reacted the same way, or was it the whole figure skating? This is kind of new, and we didn't expect it from figure skating that made it attractive.
What if it was a someone in the Cowboys organization who hired it?
Right. Exactly.
Because they were mad about the catch.
Yeah, God, so they can't get over the 49ers.
Someone in the Cowboys organization said, "Yeah, we need you to go and take out Joe Montana."
Isn't it amazing that story was a hit person, like a friend of Tonya Harding's, when I hit Nancy Kerrigan in the knee?
With a lead pipe.
With a lead pipe.
In the study.
All right, coming
Professor
up, we'll look at Alabama and their team as they head for Monday's game.